This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
So how did you go then from, you know, selling the company, you're learning now, you decide to go at it again, cause trouble and start yet another company. How did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, so this one, funny enough, doesn't have one of those spark of brilliance, you know, founding stories or anything. It's more a combination of things coming together and just the state of mind that I was in and my co-founder Simon. So Simon and I have been best buddies now for almost 13 years. In fact, he was one of those guys that I met when I first came here that was working on that startup, right? And I was just basically a fly on the wall to learn from them. But we became really good friends, and we both were in the same state of mind of like, we both have done multiple startups and we both have felt that time's too short, life's too short. And, you know, we also just had kids at that time. And I think maybe that has something to do with it as well. You realize now you've got a yardstick that really shows how quickly time is passing by. And we realize, okay, the next 10, 20 years is really the next big chunk of time we have to commit to something to say, is this time well committed? Is this something worthy of that much time? And so we made ourselves a promise, whatever we do next, it's got to be a minimum of 10 years. It's got to be something that we feel so compelled to work on that we're willing to invest 10 years plus to work on it. And so what that does is it creates this lens where suddenly doing another photo app, who gives a shit, right? There's plenty of good photo apps out there. There's lots of other people that can do that, but it didn't feel like we were compelled to want to work on something like that. And I'm also sort of a fan of the Apollo program and similar things like that, where, you know, those things took 10 years to achieve. You know, they're not a, you know, fly by, you know, whimsical thing. It really takes this brute force to achieve something like that. And there's some really good examples of, you know, Tesla is a brute force company. It is not a, you know, hope for the best or anything. You have to make it happen no matter what. SpaceX is the same. I would say Amazon is the same. It was a brute force company, you know, and many other companies are like that. And that's something that we were very cognizant of. It's like, look, the hardest things in the world take time. And the hardest problems, you know, are never like one solution, one thing. It's the combination of many complex things that have to come together and have to brute force its way through so that it can move things forward. It can move mountains, literally. And so that's where, you know, we put that lens in our head of like, well, what's something worthy of spending that much time? And one of the things that we, you know, kept sort of feeling around ourselves was that a lot of technology is starting to seep into the physical world. You know, you hear this term IoT and stuff. And our biggest concern was that if, you know, a lot of the stuff we do online starts to seep into the physical world, are we also going to be bringing in all the crap? Are we going to be, you know, walking down the street and everything's just going to track us around and we're not going to have any sense of self anymore? We're just basically now going to be completely, you know, every company is going to measure every possible thing we ever do so they can trigger us into doing something like walking into a store or purchasing something around the corner or being triggered by some other, you know, advertising or something else. And we just thought, you know, that's a bit dangerous. At least you can turn off the internet. You can't turn off the physical world unless you want to walk around with a bag over your head. It just felt like nothing was working towards like, how do we get people to be able to control their environment a bit better, to be able to, you know, produce this way of existing that is sort of bending the world around them and not the other way around. And so these sort of, you know, I would say thought experiments or, you know, IDA sort of manifested in a way where at some point we went to the future. And I can't remember how this all came about, but at one point we just took a full trip into the future and say, well, what's the world going to be like? You know, what are our kids going to grow up in and how they're going to, you know, do things? And we just imagine, you know, probably going to live in a world where you just, you know, walk up to a TV and just say, play on Netflix and starts playing Netflix. And as soon as you walk away, it all just disappears. It's not even your TV. Or you know, jump on a train and the train just senses when you come on and payment just happens in the cloud. You never have to worry about buying a ticket or anything. Or you walk up to a cafe and you just say the usual thanks. You grab your coffee and you walk out. Or you walk up to a convenience store and you just grab the items you want and you just walk out. None of these requiring like, you know, proof of who you are or a credit card or any other things. We just imagine a world where everything becomes, you know, frictionless and seamless like that, because technology is now working to serve us, not the other way around. And we just kept jamming on that idea. And then we thought, well, what would it take to do something like that? And I can't say for sure when this happened, but at some point, this idea of like a signal popped into our heads. We imagine, what if everyone walked around with an antenna on their head, and that signal is beaming out to this TV, to this train, to all these items. Hey, here is the information you need to do something for me. And by the way, this information is only being used once and you can't reuse it again. So it's basically me controlling that environment. And that's really where I'd say the beginning of Proxy started.
To start the next company, you wanted to do something that was impactful, where you would dedicate the next 10 years of your life to. You start imagining with your partner what the future would look like. And you came up with this crazy idea where someone's wearing an antennae and they're able to interact with devices around them. So that's a crazy thought. Now, most people might just switch that off and go to bed. You clearly couldn't switch it off.
Totally. I mean, we kept talking about it so much that our wives said, would you shut the F up and do something about it already? It's just like, you know, and that's a good forcing function sometimes. And, you know, we made it a science project. We said to ourselves, well, can smartphones do this? You know, now that everyone's carrying around a phone, can a phone emit a signal? And, you know, I remember back in the day, there was this product called Bump, where you would bump two phones together, and that's a way to exchange, you know, details. And that was the state of the art. It was like, you know, phones couldn't communicate with each other. You'd have to literally bump them, and the accelerometers would detect the same pattern. It's like, okay, these two phones bump into each other, exchange details over the cloud. Not very high tech, but, you know, it worked. And we thought, is the world still there, or have we enabled now phones to do more things? And so we started doing research on, I worked on iOS, Simon worked on Android, and we just wanted to prove to ourselves, could you emit a signal off this phone and do it in a way that doesn't require you to be in the app the whole time, or in the foreground the whole time, so it can be done completely passively, so that this kind of an experience or this kind of thing can happen. And again, it wasn't with the expectation that we're going to start a company out of this or anything. It was just purely, you know,
one idea, just a sort of a thought experiment, right? If you're not doing a course online, you might as well just jam on a project in the meantime.
Yep. And so we were just very lucky in timing then, that at just at that time, iOS 7 and Android enabled Bluetooth Low Energy to be actually running in a mode, because there's two modes that this thing can run. It's central and peripheral. It basically allows for both phones to now emit a signal, but also detect the signal too. And that's essential for we're having peer-to-peer. And I know this from my day in meetings, so doing peer-to-peer is something that I'm pretty good at. And like, that was the thing that we recognized straight away. It's like, there is a time now, there is a moment now where these phones can, you know, detect each other and emit a signal at the same time, and all of this without having to run the app the whole time to do it. And that was like kind of like one big spark of like, okay, maybe there's something here.
Thank you for listening. As always, this show is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. But did you know that full uncut episodes and bonus content are posted on our YouTube channel? If you want to learn practical business skills, discover trends and opportunities, and learn how to invest in real estate, head on over there now. Go to youtube.com and search for Zane Jaffer, and it'll pop up. Subscribe now. See you on the next episode.